Good evening, world. Welcome to WFHR's Director's Cut for this January 15th, session number 10. Got your host and program director here, James J. Maloff. I am joined by my partner in sound and art, Mr. Seth Habhager. Seth, how are you?
I'm doing well. Hope everyone else is having a wonderful Sunday night out there. You should be, because you just listened to Seth Faces the Music.
Yes, that's darn right.
Be in a great mood right now.
It should be going great. this is just a palate cleanser to you.
That's right, yeah.
You already got your fill in. Welcome to the show, everybody. We're going to have a lot of fun today. First, I do want to thank all the guests we've had on the show so far. We've been really spoiled by this.
We have been very spoiled, and it's just a taste.
Yep.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have got so much lined up coming up here. We are so excited of some of the people we're bringing on this show. I want to tell everything, but I don't know. How much should we hold back? How much we should do?
I think we walk a dance here. We do a little sharing and a little keeping to ourselves.
Tease here and there. Okay.
Part of the reason you're stuck with just Seth and I today is because going forward, not going to be a lot of this.
No, there's not.
We had a bunch of little topics we've been wanting to do for a while now, mm-hmm. So we're going to hit those up in the show today. We're going to let you know what's new in theaters, new on your small screen this weekend. We've got a great one about actors who refused roles out of spite.
That's hilarious to me.
Some of the weirder, wild TV controversies ever, kind of rehash some of those, and we'll see what time we have for other things.
Yeah.
But one of the other purposes of this was to be able to kind of preview and let you know what's coming up, and we want to start with some breaking news.
Okay.
I purposely have not brought this up on the air of any of our other shows to save it right for this. We are very proud and happy to announce that Director's Cut is going to be partnering up with Friends of Rapids Music.
Yay.
Our good friend Connie is going to be joining the team, kind of. Connie, maybe not so much joining us on the show, but you will feel her impact because we will have a lot of guests joining us, music guests. But Connie's also got a couple poets, a couple writers she's talking to.
Wow.
So we're really looking forward to that. Being honest with the audience, I've never done anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of setting up guests and scheduling all that is a little bit out of my wheelhouse, and mm-hmm. I've been working at it. And, you know, I'm okay at it, but Connie is a pro. So why mess around with the audience here? Let's get this done right and bring somebody in who knows what they're doing and has all these connections and all
these
great.
Yeah. She knows everybody because she's a part of it. She's a part of Friends of, and I'm hoping that we'll get to Connie on here with her group or by herself or however we want to do it. That'll be a lot of fun too.
We're very excited to be doing that. And we do want to let the audience know, of course, if you are a musician or an artist of any kind out there, whatever you do, let us know. We'll bring you on the show.
That's right.
We are looking forward to doing that and looking forward to having more and more of our great local artists on the air with us.
Yes, indeed.
It's going to be so fun. Do want to send a shout out to Connie and her Friends of Rapids Music. Encourage you to bookmark their page, frm.com.
Mm-hmm.
Be sure to type into your search bar on Facebook, Friends of Rapids Music. Mm-hmm. Like, follow, support what they do.
Yep. And of course, we'll also be keeping up with what's going on in the theater world here and in the central Wisconsin area. Talk about Stevens Point as well.
I think it's safe to mention a couple of our coming up guests.
I think we can, because I know one group that we're going to want to talk to is Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, because coming up, they've got another one of their, what they call, Edgy Director Showcase.
Yeah, I like
the fact that they say edgy on there.
Yeah.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf will be coming up on January 27th and 28th, 7 p.m. for both shows on that. Now, this is an interesting show.
Mm-hmm.
This, to me, the thing I find most interesting, not necessarily the play itself, but I remember the movie, and probably more people remember the movie, because it kind of broke a lot of the taboos that were in film. This was kind of when they started to push against the code that they had. What they called the Breen office, or the Hayes office, mm-hmm. back in the late 60s.
Yeah.
It should be noted it was Mike Nichols first directing. He had a lot of theater experience. His first film he directed, he got a lot of accolades mm-hmm. for it. But the play's the thing, you know, as Shakespeare would say.
Yes.
And I have never seen a live production of this show. I know it's very intense.
Yeah.
Lots of emotions. Edward Albee was not a playwright to pull his punches.
No.
In terms of emotion. And this is a very good example, which is kind of why I believe they're putting it on the showcase. They're not putting it on the main stage. But we're looking at getting a couple people, the director coming in here, and hopefully a cast member or two to talk about that coming up. So that'll be in the very near future.
Really looking forward to that. Also, want to do an actors kind of series here. You know, bring on actors, just talk acting, but not just so much the nuts and bolts of the craft, but the purpose and why they continue on it. The actors we'll bring on probably will not be huge names.
No.
And to me, it's fascinating the longer I get in this career of, you know, the mentality it takes to not only keep pursuing this dream and keep going at it at acting, but also getting to a level of understanding and a good place of, well, if this is as big as my career ever gets, I'm okay with continuing forward.
Yeah.
I'm curious to know if I went to a lot of 20-something actors and said, hey, your career's going to get this high, and that's as high as it's ever going to go. Will you keep doing this? Is that enough for you? Or are you doing this because you want to be the biggest name in the world and all that?
Right.
And it's interesting the answers I've gotten from younger people about that.
Wow.
The trueness to that and how a couple of them, not many, but a couple of them have kind of rethought what they want to do. And recently I was a part of a student film for Columbia University in Chicago.
Right.
And the young lady, Rachel, who I was working with, very talented, really funny, and really fun to work with. I enjoyed my time with her. We just, on Thursday, had our final filming of the student film we were doing. And it was kind of melancholy and kind of sad to say goodbye to each other and stuff.
Sure.
And we shared email, you know, we're going to stay in touch and stuff. But she's just wrapping up her schooling. In fact, our schedule was based on her availability because of classes and stuff,
which I've never
run into as an actor, probably since high school. It was fun, but talking to her about this, it opened up a whole thing where she got talking and she was like, you know, I don't know if I want to continue to do this. It wasn't because of a lack of fame or any of that possibility. Mm-hmm. It was, this is hard.
This is hard work.
And she's doing it and not even having to, you know, she's got her bills taken care of. She's got her, you know, rent and all this.
Yeah.
But she goes out into the real world and all of a sudden you got to work to make a living.
Make a living at this, right?
You don't get to, oh, I'm only going to do Shakespeare in the Park. And I'm like, no, you're going to play whatever you can get a role for.
You are going to be one of those erectile dysfunction guys and a drug ad.
You
are going to do that.
You want to keep the lights on? You want to eat? Yeah. You're going to play that part.
Yes, you are.
It's fascinating to me to think of the actors that want to do this, even though they know I may never be, you know, Al Pacino.
Yeah,
but that's okay. I love this. I love doing this, and it's enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have on actors like one of the first actors we will have on, Joel Goodness, a well-known name in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Joel has one of the good stories, one of the guys that made it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is Joel a household name? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. But he made it. He's a SAG actor. He's worked with some of the greats. I want to talk to Joel about this. I want to talk to him about his process, all those things. We are looking to bring on this wonderful young personality, Kristen Bry, I believe her name is. Hopefully we have some connections to be able to get a great person.
You know, she's tough. She's got this really popular radio show she does. Man, she's going to be tough to get a hold of now.
Kristen, on the other side of things, didn't want to continue it. She found another livelihood, another passion to get into.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to do that. And we're going to have Joel on. We'll probably have Kristen on at some point coming up.
Indeed.
These are just some of the people we'll be bringing on.
Yeah.
And speaking of musicians, I know that Seth has reached out to the Lizards. We're hoping to have them on at some point.
Yep.
And I can tell you that coming up in the next week or two, Brad Jansen will be joining us.
Yes.
Wonderful local musician. Brad's great. His personality is as good as his music.
He is. He's fun to talk to as well. Listen to, but wonderful musician. We've had the opportunity to have him on these airwaves before. Love to be able to bring him back.
So I think that's a good little taste.
A little taste.
I don't want to give up too much. Don't want to give away any more, but we do have a lot more lined up for you.
Yes, we do.
And encourage you again to keep spreading the word, not just about Director's Cut, but the Sunshine Polka Show, Seth Faces the Music, all of our original weekend shows.
Yeah.
We put so much time and energy into these. We have some great sponsors.
Yep.
And we want more sponsors. Just as a side note, you want to sponsor any of these shows? Please feel free to reach out.
Yeah, exactly. Let's put that out there.
We look forward to this growing and growing, and it'll grow because of you guys out there. We appreciate you.
Yes, indeed.
Diving into what's new this weekend on your small screen, a couple of things came out on Friday on Peacock. Sick, a pandemic-inspired slasher. So if the pandemic wasn't scary for you enough, I guess you got a horror movie that involves it.
let's make it even scarier. Yeah, let's do that.
Hulu had the Drop premiere. That's a fun one about friends for a destination wedding in a tropical island resort.
Okay.
And some social outcast stuff involved in that one. Netflix has one that came out on Friday called Doggone, starring Rob Lowe.
Oh.
I thought that was interesting.
Doggone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rob Lowe is a dad who takes his son on a desperate search along the Appalachian Trail to somehow find their missing dog.
Oh, my gosh. Can we just say real quick here, Rob Lowe's had like 13 lives. The man is he's the comeback king, man. He you think he's gone, and all of a sudden, here he is again.
I got into it this weekend with my son because I see a picture of my son. And look, I expect him to be more talented or beat me in basketball. I didn't expect him to be so much handsomer than I am. It's not fair, JC. It's not fair. Same thing with Rob Lowe. It's not fair. How does he look better now than he did when we were kids?
He was younger. I don't get some actors, they age just so gracefully, and he is one of them.
Ain't right. No, it's awesome. That's very cool.
It's good for him, yeah.
On Friday, the second season premiere of Hunters came out.
Okay.
This is, I will admit, I am very biased about this show.
Sure.
It is about a group of ragtag people, in particular a Jewish kid, and them hunting down Nazis after World War II and bringing them to justice in one way or another.
Right.
It's an important one, but it's also, I don't know that you need to take it too serious either, because it's certainly the subject matter makes it that way, but it is a comic book show too.
It is. That's true. It is.
And they take some artistic liberties in it.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Which I'm not even sure how I feel about, to be honest with you, as a Jew. Because there's some of the stuff where I feel like they glorify some of the acts that some of these cowards committed during World War II.
Oh, interesting.
While at the same time, it's a double-bladed sword because they're also bringing attention. Like, I think some people think, well, that was just in a TV show. No, they actually did do that to Jews. Like,
yeah.
So it's this line here. But overall, I think it's a great show. I encourage people to watch it. It's hard for me to watch, but I'm so thankful that they have it. I'm so glad Amazon did this show.
Some of the most rewarding watches are the toughest ones to get through.
I'll only probably see Schindler's List once in my life, but man, I remember every second of that movie. Yeah. Every bit of it I remember. Big weekend for football. NFC wild card kicks off with San Francisco taking on Seattle at 4:30. And then a little bit later on, that's on Fox. On NBC, you've got Jacksonville taking on the Chargers. That's the one I'm really paying attention to.
Wild card one there. Who knows what's going to happen.
On Sunday, you'll have the NFC Buffalo at hosting Miami. That'll be on CBS at 1 o'clock. The 3:30 game will be Minnesota taking on the Giants on Fox. And then on Sunday, you've got the Bengals and Baltimore facing off on NBC as Sunday Night Football. Now, that was just a little touch of playmakers there.
Yeah, right.
Just throw a little bit of play. Show inside a show right there.
It is entertainment. Sports are entertainment. We have to include that in there.
Saturday at 7 on Roku. Kind of interesting.
Roku's got that. They do have their own channel.
That's true. That's true. The 71st Miss Universe pageant.
It's on Roku now. Interesting.
Well, that means to me that nobody else wanted it. Like, you go to the highest bidder with these pageants and everything.
Anything, yeah, like this. You're absolutely right.
Nothing against Roku. I like them and everything, but they don't have the kind of money to be able to outbid people.
They're pretty new. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're not something that people, Roku channel, the most famous thing they've released was the Weird Al biopic.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing they've done so far.
I wonder how much longer some of these pageants will be going on.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. At least the way that they are now. I wouldn't mind them if they change, you know, make it more interesting, more up to date.
Yes.
You know, I know they've done some of that. They have done some of that.
It has gotten better. That is for sure.
Yeah.
The second season premiere going on tonight on Paramount Plus of Jeremy Renner's crime thriller, Mayor of Kingstown. Mm-hmm. And just a shout out to Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy, it looks like he's doing okay.
Yeah.
But man, that was rough. Whew.
Yeah, and a way to be a superhero actually in real life.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, he was helping out neighbors get out of snowy areas and pulling some people out and trying to maneuver and just help people out. But way to go, Hawkeye. I appreciate it. You know, I'm glad he's doing okay.
Mm-hmm.
On the CW, the 20th Annual Critics' Choice Awards. Now, again, you want to know how an award show isn't doing good. It's on one of the lesser tier channels. I'm not trying to be mean here, but just it really tells you.
But to be fair... Did anyone really care that much about the Critics' Choice Award?
I'm not even sure the critics care about
it. Yeah, I don't think they may not. They might just phone it in themselves.
Yeah, yeah.
They're kind of like the Golden Globes, you know,
yes,
one of those
very
things. Very much. So let's give everyone here like a rule of thumb, okay? If it's the people in the industry voting for it, that makes more sense. That makes more their peers. If your peers voting for each other, that makes more sense. And of course, the Academy is that way. It's mostly actors.
Yes.
Of course, and also the SAG Awards and things like that. And so if we have like the Writers Guild puts out their stuff, you know, and all that, that makes sense because they are in the industry.
Yeah, yeah.
The Golden Globes,
they're
a bunch of like, who knows, reporters,
quote
unquote reporters.
Yes. Yeah.
Or the critics, you know, I know how most actors and people in Hollywood feel about critics. So it's like, who cares what they say, right?
I mean, all award shows are a little political, but that one, I mean, those are just so political. So
very
just,
blatantly. So.
It's all who you know, whose shoulders you rubbed with, who you maybe gave them a little extra here or something. Yeah, it's hard to. On Showtime tonight at 8 o'clock, you will have the second season premiere of the Bryan Cranston crime drama, Your Honor. But the big one going on tonight, really, for a lot of people on HBO is the series premiere of the video game adaptation of The Last of Us, starring the great Pedro Pascal from, of course, The Mandalorian and everything.
Sans helmet. You actually get to see his face.
Yeah, yeah. Bella Ramsey is in this, too, and I really like her. She has got such an expressive, wonderful face. She was in Game of Thrones. I think that's where a lot of people know her
probably,
from.
Yeah.
Pedro Pascal is kind of gotten, I think if he's not a household name, he's that tier right under it. But her, I'm really excited for too, because I just haven't gotten to see enough of her work.
Yeah, and this is, it's interesting to me, it's fascinating to make a work based on a what was basically an adventure game, which means it has a very in-depth storyline. I mean, that's why the game was so popular, because it had a really interesting story, and now they're putting it, you know, making it dramatic. I wonder if it's going to translate, not necessarily that it's going to, you know, the story won't translate to, I think it will, whether people will care.
Yeah,
that's the interesting thing to me. If it seems to me they're trying to reach a non-video game audience with this. They think that they can get to that bigger group of people, because the people who play the video game, of course, they already know what happens and everything like that. So it's very interesting to see how this is gonna how well received this is.
Whenever you're adapting a video game to a TV show or a movie or anything like that, part of the reason you're doing it is, and part of how you can sell this to producers is, well, I've got this core audience. I know these people are going to go see it.
Mm-hmm.
What's interesting about this one is they seem to have been very honest and very trying to kind of push away from the video game, use the video game as an outline, and really kind of create their own show from that.
Yep.
And that you're almost saying, well, we love this fan base, but we're not worried about if we lose them or not. We're that confident that we can bring in enough people to make this show successful.
Right.
That's a challenge to give yourself that you don't need to.
Right. It's a risk.
But
for
artistically,
sure.
I admire it. I think that's a really because it's silly to look, especially in 2023 and going forward, the idea of, oh, it's just a silly video game. That's long past.
Yeah.
We've seen enough movies and TV shows be successful based on games or the one of the biggest money makers in the world is the video game industry. And it has been long before you and I were even born. It's been doing this. To just tell you how much this industry has grown, how big it
is. Oh, for
sure.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't take it seriously, that's kind of on you. It doesn't care anymore. It's being taken
seriously.
It's
its own thing. Yeah. It doesn't matter. You're right.
It'll be interesting to see how that plays out.
Yes, indeed.
So we got new in theaters. Want to get into that?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay, let's do that, and then we'll go to break.
Yeah.
New in theaters this weekend, just a couple of them, and kind of interesting. So LeBron James, in a limited release, has a movie, House Party, he produced. It's a reboot of the 90s House Party movies.
Really?
Yeah. And
why?
I don't know. look, I'll for journalistic integrity here, I was a huge Kid and Play fan, and I watched every single one of those House Party movies, and they were not very good.
No, they weren't, but they were fun. Yeah, they were fun.
Yeah, and part of what sold them was you had Kid and Play. You
exactly.
had this hip-hop group that everybody knew, or a lot of people knew, and it brought them into the movies.
Yep.
Again, core fan base, I can sell it to producers of why this is done.
Exactly.
But they got, and nothing against these actors, Jacob Lattimore from Showtime's The Shy and Tosin Cole from Doctor Who playing these characters. Those are not exactly household names. I don't know what they're trying to do here.
It seems interesting because the whole reason they made those movies was because of Kid and Play. Yeah. It was because to cash in on their yeah. fame at the yes. time they yes. did it.
I don't
Without
know.
Them, it seems kind of strange that you would bring it back. I don't know. Plus, maybe they'll make cameos in it.
Back then, there were actual house parties. Yeah, like it was a huge part of why it was successful is exactly. because house parties were huge when we were kids.
Yeah.
People don't even do that anymore. Exactly.
Especially in the hip hop community. Yes, house yeah. parties were massive. That was one of the big ways you could they would party. Yeah.
They just don't even barely do it anymore. No. So I don't even know if anybody even gets the reference. Yeah, like I cannot understand how this got made other than LeBron James' name is attached to it. Not even in it. He's just a producer.
And again, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It might be a little bit of a vanity project, but
another big one and big release. Plane, star rated R. Gerard Butler plays a commercial pilot forced to make an emergency landing on an island during a storm. But it turns out that he landed in an area of the Philippines that's ruled by a heavily armed anti-government militias.
Wow.
Michael Coulter from Luke Cage is in this as well.
Who I adore.
Big fan.
He's a
Big
great fan. Actor. I'm curious about, I don't know if that's enough to make me watch this movie.
Yeah.
But I still like Mike Coulter.
I like Gerard Butler. I'm a big fan of his.
I just haven't seen enough of his work because a lot of the movies he's in are just I'm not interested in seeing.
Yeah,
that's part of it.
I admire any actor that can go from playing the Phantom in Phantom of the Opera to Leonidas or whatever.
Leonidas, I believe is correct. Yes,
300. He's got some chops, Gerard Butler.
Yeah, he does.
You don't get to see it in every role because he takes roles for money sometimes. CC, the conversation we just had a little bit ago.
Which is fine.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yes.
No problem.
That should be interesting.
Yeah.
Very interested in this big one, the big movie coming out this weekend. A Man Called Otto, rated PG-13. Tom Hanks plays Otto, a grumpy old man grieving over the recent loss of his wife. Mm-hmm. He's reluctantly drawn into the troubles of a new family, then moves into his neighborhood and eventually rediscovers the will to live and the more he helps them. Tom Hanks, grumpy. Like, you had me. You got me right there, Hollywood. Nicely done.
You know, he's to the point where it's like, what do I do now? Seriously, he's played so many interesting roles. He's done all this stuff. What can I do now? Oh, I'll be a grumpy. I'll be a curmudgeon. Hey, you're right. Sign me up. And he's at the perfect age now to do that. It's just the man is so he was so smart with his own career. Mm-hmm. I have not seen a better actor or anybody for that matter who was so smart with what they did with their career.
Tom Hanks could literally teach a masterclass on choosing roles.
Yeah.
And how to handle your career. Yeah. You're so right about this, and it's nice to hear somebody else say it.
He was able to break out of the comedy actor role, and then he would do things people didn't expect. He would direct a movie here and there.
I think Cary Grant, Jimmy Stewart, a couple of other ones I would mention as good references. I think Samuel Jackson is another good one.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think that there's anybody in acting history who has done a better job managing their career and choosing roles than Tom Hanks. Trust me, people, I have gone over this and I have dissected this more than I would care to admit.
The only person that kind of comes into that range to me is Robert Redford.
Sure.
Because he would be very choosy with his roles.
The only thing I push back on that is because some of the bigger iconic roles that Redford did, he got as the second actor. They had somebody else in mind, but they brought Redford
in. That's true, yeah.
Most of the time, Tom was the first choice.
That's true.
But they didn't know he would do it. It's kind of been a while now, but people might forget, nobody in the world saw Tom Hanks as Philadelphia. Nobody saw that
as a gay AIDS ridden lawyer. No one,
and nobody even more. Robert Zemeckis had to fight to get him as Forrest Gump. Like they didn't see him as Forrest Gump. Oh no way, Tom Hanks is Forrest Gump. Nobody's going to believe this and all that.
Right.
It's crazy to think of that now,
isn't it?
Can you see anybody else playing that part?
No,
but
not at all.
But at the time, he had to fight for it,
and it's a performance that holds up. Now the movie itself has some issues.
Yeah,
but. His performance is still one of the most amazing I've ever seen.
To your point about, I actually think you really are onto something there, and I'd love to get him in the studio here to talk to him. Because just like Tom, just between us, you know, just actors talking here.
Wouldn't that be something he would do?
Yes, it would.
Just we would just randomly say, "Hey, we're at this small radio station in the middle of Wisconsin.
We gotta reach
out to him." Would you just to be for fun? He would do. I could totally see him doing.
We're definitely doing this.
We gotta contact his people.
I don't want to. I don't want to share too much here because I don't know what I can share or anything like that. But I have a 9,000 degrees of separation between my agent and his agent. So just gonna give it a shot.
Let's throw it out there. But who knows?
I do think he's gotten to a point in his career where he looks at his IMDb page and is like, "What haven't I done? I haven't gotten like a lot of prosthetics and stuff. I'll play the manager, Elvis's manager,
Colonel Tom Parker.
I haven't done Grumpy. I'll play Grumpy. It seems like that's where it's coming.
We need a reboot of Grumpy Old Men. Okay, so Tom Hanks is one of them. We have to think who's the other older actor that we can get opposite Tom Hanks that a lot of good chemistry there. I'm trying to think if there's anyone that would fit.
Ooh, Billy Crystal.
Oh my gosh.
How about that? Yeah, Tom Hanks and Billy Crystal. I'd like to see that.
Sign me up, dude.
Yes.
Sign me up. But they have to come to Minnesota. They have to do it in Minnesota because that was part of the charm of those movies. So.
Agreed.
All right, we're going to wrap up this section right now. We'll be back after a short break right here on Director's Cut.
Welcome back to Director's Cut, everyone. Hope you are having a great weekend or whatever day of the week you're listening to us. We appreciate it. Do keep in mind, of course, you can download our podcast and listen to our podcast at civicmedia.us. Spread the word about that and spread the word about the Civic Media app as well. It's a great way to carry us with you wherever you go.
That's right.
Seth and James here with you, and wanted to get into a lot of these like kind of like quick hitters, these topics that we've had that we wanted to get to, but we haven't had a chance. Mm-hmm. And here's one that I think is really interesting, the kind of look behind the curtain, if you will, that we like to do around here at Director's Cut.
We love it.
Actors who refused roles out of spite.
Sheer gall. Yes, I love it.
It's interesting, and especially some of these stories that are kind of lost, but a lot of us actors know behind the scenes, but never really talked about in the forefront. And we're actually going to go back in time a little bit for this first one to one of the greatest to ever do it, but also one of the greatest to ever do the spite game. I don't think many people will ever do the spite game better than Joan Crawford.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Now, I do think that Joan Crawford is one of the top actors of all time. I think
she's an
incredible talent. Mm-hmm. Very good at what she did. Mm-hmm. Especially for actors, those of us of our age, we think of Joan Crawford as nothing but a hit star. Like hit after hit after hit, that kind of thing. And Joan Crawford spent the majority of the 20s and 30s riding a wave of mainstream success, a much sought after Hollywood starlet. In fact, F. Scott Fitzgerald, the celebrated chronicler of the 20s, had always spoken very highly of Crawford and wrote once that he considered her the quintessential flapper of the time.
Wow.
He called her, as he's said to have said the famous line, young things with a talent for living. And it was about Joan Crawford.
Wow.
However, in the 30s, Joan's star faded a little bit. And she actually had like a run of bad hits where she was known as box office poison.
Mm.
And that's actually the first time that term got used was on Joan Crawford.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
I didn't either. I learned that in the just discovering some of this. Well, despite her rocky career, Crawford was originally set to star in the 1953 dramatic movie From Here to Eternity. One of the classics.
Right.
Got one of the most classic scenes in film history. Before stepping away, though, according to rumors, the big name actress objected to being billed second under Burt Lancaster. The Daily Beast reported that due to some concerns about the 6-year age difference between herself and Lancaster, Crawford insisted on using her own cameraman. The studio, unsurprisingly, couldn't fulfill such a request, and Crawford dragged this out to the very last second and eventually walked away from Columbia Pictures.
Wow.
Of course, and she would go on to say that the movie would never be successful without her.
Oops.
And, that did not go
well,
over as well.
That didn't quite work out the way she thought.
No. Interesting that she basically was never going to do the role, but kept on like dragging it out out of spite, basically, which she was kind of known for.
She was known for it. She had a rep for sure.
But I do also want to say, huge fan of hers, and would have worked with her in a second.
Me too. For some of her best work, the absolute classic Mildred Pierce.
God,
that is such a good movie, and her performance is probably the best she ever had.
Acting, well said, and I agree. Acting tour de force on that one. Going a little modern to the franchise that will not die, the Fast and the Furious. many of our audience may have heard the rumblings of this one, but we'll give it a little more details to it.
Sounds good.
In November of 2021, Fast and Furious veteran Vin Diesel took to Instagram to plead with Dwayne Johnson to participate in the 10th and final installment of the long-running franchise, Fast X. Side note, it ain't the last in the franchise. I know they're billing it that way, and I will eat a hat if it's the last movie they make.
It's just making too much money. They're never going to stop until it stops making money.
Johnson had previously stated that he was not returning. He did not, him and the Vin did not get along. Mm-hmm. He didn't get along well with Tyrese. And he's just like, no, this isn't working. And I'm The Rock. I don't need this. I can go on
do whatever
and do other
he
things.
Wants. Yeah.
Well, Vin went to social media and really said to his 82 million followers, claiming that his children still refer to Johnson as Uncle Dwayne and really leaning on the kid thing, like, hey, my kids want you to be in this. Please be in this. We got to do this, all that. Well, it's a little dicey already, you know, dragging kids into this.
Yeah.
Well, then you start learning some of the behind-the-scenes stuff. Not long after this, Dwayne Johnson sat down with CNN and set the record straight, letting his fans know that he and his former co-star came to an agreement in private that he was not going to be in the franchise and not returning to the franchise. Mm. Then Johnson said he was incredibly blown away by Vin's Instagram post.
Okay.
Like, where's this coming from?
Right.
And Johnson said his words, quote, clear manipulation on Vin Diesel's part. Ooh. Johnson said, I didn't like that he brought up his children in the post as well as Paul Walker's death. Oh. Kind of really guilt, trying to guilt The Rock into doing this when he had already contractually, he's got other projects. He can't do it even if he wanted to.
Right.
So it really was kind of this thing where it was really set in motion already, and then Vin Diesel kind of made this a little ugly.
Yeah.
And it was already ugly to begin with, and nobody looks good, and everybody's got dirt on their nails on this one.
As it happens, right.
But it apparently The Rock had said that he was going to do the final one, and then because things not going well and him not getting along with these other actors, that he had basically said, I'm not doing it out of spite. Like, I'm just not doing it. But he had been pretty honest with people behind the scenes about this. And even though they, you know, he didn't have to necessarily be, he was. Then The Rock, or Vin Diesel does all these things, and it's just, it's
well,
money.
And it was very public, too. I mean, I got to say, from where it looks from here, now we don't know what Vin Diesel was thinking or anything like that. From where we stand, it seems to me like he did this on purpose publicly, again, to try to coax Dwayne Johnson to do it instead of doing probably which would have been the proper thing to do. Talk to him.
Yeah.
You know, just one-on-one, private. Yeah. You don't need to bring this out into social media. You don't need to throw everything out there.
And a couple of more interesting ones here I really want to get to. Mm-hmm. Deborah Winger. Deborah Winger's got a very, very interesting career and a very interesting life. And one of those ones where we'll never really know what was going on in her head with some of the other things. I mean, there's the famous story of when they're auditioning for Catwoman and she like cuts in line in front of Michelle Pfeiffer and she did not have an audition set up. And she showed up in full Catwoman gear to audition and they refused to see her and she lost it. That really didn't help her career at all.
It's
been a couple of other things here and there, but nobody, I don't think you could deny her talent. She's
not
a talented actor.
Right.
Just some of the off the field stuff that with her has been very curious. Mm-hmm. And it even goes into A League of Their Own. And I don't think this is common knowledge.
Oh, wow.
She was all set to play the lead role instead of Gina Davis.
Really? Wow.
It was going to be Deborah Winger. In fact, Deborah Winger not only was originally cast, she spent 3 months of intensive baseball training with the Chicago Cubs.
Wow.
Some people might say the Cubs back then, what did she learn about baseball?
I was going to say, I'm glad you said it because I was like,
I can get away
with
it.
How much did she actually learn from the Cubs back then? Really?
I can get away with it. No. She did this in order to increase the authenticity. This was an important story to her. Mm-hmm. She knew what this meant to Penny Marshall. Mm-hmm. You think about this back then. This is long before Me Too and a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
Nobody was telling stories like this. It was a big deal. But then she heard, however, that Madonna was added to the project, and the terms of endearment actress lost it. She walked out that day.
Really?
Winger believed that rather than the film being a historical empowering story, it was meant to be, the Queen of Pop's involvement would inevitably drive the film in a different direction to where there would be no integrity. Quote, I think her acting career has spoken for itself, she said in an interview with The Telegraph. Despite the film's positive reception, the retired actress had a few choice words to say about the final product. Quote, she did okay, despite lacking the proper perception. As entertaining as the final film was, you don't walk away going, wow, those women did that. You kind of go, is that true? Now, I don't think that's true. I did not walk out of A League of Their Own at all that way.
It sounds, first of all, it sounds sour grapes to me. First of all, a lot of things. I got to put on the record, my favorite baseball movie, period, is A League of Their Own.
Yeah.
I love baseball. I've seen a lot of baseball movies. That is my favorite because the characters are fun. Mm-hmm. And I love the angle of the women. Tom Hanks is brilliant in it. Madonna is one of the most memorable characters in that movie.
It's her natural. I don't see her like fighting a role to play a role in that. She's very herself in it.
Yeah,
which was the character she was playing was very akin to.
Exactly.
I thought it was actually really smart casting.
It was brilliant casting to put her in there.
Not to mention, you know what? So what if Penny Marshall cast her because she's Madonna? You're trying to bring attention to a subject that nobody was really paying attention to or talking about. I don't blame her for that, especially if she could pull it off.
Yeah.
But then a great performer and somebody who really rang her in was Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Who really did a great job of keeping Madonna kind of leveled.
The very underrated Rosie O'Donnell. Love her in that movie.
And if you're any good as an actor, Deborah Winger, pull some weight and like actually be, you know, hey, look, if you think I would want to be on the set and making sure that the integrity of the film was being kept instead of walking away, like, which is kind of cowardly to me.
Well, it sounds like she's very insecure
and it doesn't give
much insecure, a whole bunch of insecurity there.
Agreed. And I don't think it gives enough credit to people like Gina Davis and Lori Petty to work their tail off.
Oh my gosh.
Working with grown men playing that sport and like literally getting in the dirt and playing the game of baseball so that they looked realistic when they played the game.
I give Gina Davis. I can't imagine Deborah Winger in that because because Gina Davis not only she has an athletic build, you know, she's tall, but she also is an athletic person. And that because, you know, if you know about her, you know, history, she's been like she's big into archery.
Yes.
She's an amazing archer.
Yeah.
And she has that kind of and I can't imagine anyone else being Dottie Hanson but Gina Davis.
Yeah.
And Lori Petty, same thing. Mm-hmm. Brilliant. I mean, I could talk about this movie all day, but
it's a great movie.
I love
really
it.
Really is. Top three baseball movies
for
me.
Sure.
The Natural will always be number one, but that's because of my dad and my papa.
Yeah.
Two more for you, real quick. This one is really fascinating, and I did not know it until I started looking into this.
Okay.
We go to Steve McQueen, the King of Cool, and Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Had no idea about this, man.
Really?
Steve McQueen was spent the 60s and 70s enjoying the fruits of stardom, appearing
in Spite of the Blob.
Yes. Even with that, that shows how great he was.
Yeah, exactly.
Over three decades after his death, McQueen still holds the moniker of the King of Cool. Mm-hmm. You hear even more than James Dean.
Mm-hmm.
For his long list of interesting hobbies, he was into motorcycles, fashion, all these things. But during casting for the Western classic Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, McQueen accepted the role of Sundance after reading through the script. However, he wound up stepping away from the role over disagreements with his co-star Paul Newman. McQueen's undeniable star power at the time led him to refuse second billing to Paul Newman.
Oh boy.
Even though technically Newman was much bigger at the time.
Yeah.
The role later went, of course, to Robert Redford, their second choice, and would go on to be cinema history.
Yeah, of course.
You know, one of the greatest of all time.
Yep.
And thank God that this happened. And I love Steve McQueen.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my, if not my favorite pairing in cinema history is Newman and Newman and Redford.
Yes.
And I don't know if they go on to do The Sting together if they didn't have this movie.
Right.
And I love The Sting.
It's funny, their pairing, because I don't think they were in a lot of other things together.
No.
But those two movies, that's all it took. And I'm with you. The Sting is one of the most brilliant films ever made. It's you know, watching it, if you've never seen it, it's just fun to follow. The story is so much fun.
It holds
all the twists and turns and everything. Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen the sequel in a long time, but I watched the original about a year or two ago, and it still holds up, man.
It's still a good one.
It's
a period
good.
Piece, so that helps, but man, yeah.
Russell Crowe was going to be Wolverine. Russell Crowe. He was going to be Wolverine. It was all set. He was pre-cast, actually, as Wolverine. He was going to do it. It was his role. He turned it down.
Boggles my mind.
He turned it down, and for the funniest of reasons.
Okay.
It's a little bit of spite, but also a little bit of fear, because Russell was afraid everybody was going to think of him as Mr. Wolf. This is his literal quote. They were going to call me Mr. Wolf from the rest of my career. Given that he was worried about this because his most iconic role at the time was Gladiator, and in the movie Gladiator, his character is associated with wolves. So he was afraid if he played Wolverine that he would be typecast as a guy basically just playing wolf characters.
I hate to break it to Mr. Crow. A Wolverine is not a wolf.
No.
They don't look anything alike.
Not even close.
People are a lot smarter than apparently you think.
Yeah, yeah. In a 2019 interview on the Howard Stern Show, Crow expressed his respect over Jackman's performance and showed that he had no hard feelings, saying, "There's no way I would have ever done that as good of a job as he did. Even if I had done the film, I wouldn't have carried it through with the grace and direction that Hugh did." Now, this is one. The other reason I bring this up is because this is the beginning of Russell Crowe realizing, do I want a career or not? I better straighten up. I got to get my act together, like, no pun intended. And him starting to kind of like treat people with a little more respect. The diva stuff goes down, and he just kind of becomes actually a likable guy.
Right.
Who I'm actually rooting for the rest of his career, kind of, which is really weird for me to say.
Because I know we got to wrap this up, but real quick about Russell Crowe. I loved him in L.A. Confidential, which was the role that kind of broke him into the States because, you know, he's Australian. Since then, I haven't seen a role that I thought he's really knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
Even, you know, Gladiator, maybe, but I even the latest one in Thor, Love and Thunder, he was kind of a caricature.
It was a caricature.
I didn't really like the way he played Zeus. I don't know.
I will only counter with A Beautiful Mind.
That's true.
I think that's one of the greater acting performances I've seen.
Okay.
But I also, I don't mean this in a mean way. I'd also think it's a little overrated. Okay. A little bit. Only because we understand a lot more about mental health now. And I think some of the things he were doing was overdoing it.
Right.
Characterization of a mental health issue.
Right.
But still an important film and a great performance by him. He deserved that Oscar.
So, there you go. So you got me on that one. So that's going to wrap up this section. We'll be back here very shortly with our last little segment here to wrap up the show on Director's Cut.
Welcome back to Director's Cut here for this January 15th. Hope you're enjoying the session, everybody. We sure are. We're having a lot of fun. Again, encourage you to spread the word about the show, all of our original content. Appreciate you doing that, supporting local and backing local.
Mm-hmm.
So wanted to wrap up our show with this one, the weirdest and wildest TV controversies. Some of these more interesting ones here.
All right.
I thought this would be kind of fun. Like, do you remember this? I don't. Kid Nation.
Kid Nation?
CBS thought it would be a good idea to take a bunch of 8 to 15-year-olds and let them, quote, govern a small town for themselves.
What?
Yeah, this had a very short shelf life. Some accused the show of child abuse and violating child labor laws. A few kids got hurt. Who could have seen that coming?
I am amazed sometimes at what gets greenlit.
Yeah,
in Hollywood. Yes. It is just remarkable. This had to go through several committees and boards and producers, and they thought it was a good idea.
In some way.
Okay.
These next two were kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Charisma Carpenter was fired from Angel after she got pregnant. Ooh. She even claims the creator, Josh Whedon, went so far as to ask her if she was going to keep it or something. Now, this is has a part B to it as well. We have come to find out that Josh Whedon is a creep.
Yeah, he's
a huge creep.
He's a huge creep. It's come out unfortunately.
Yeah,
very talented guy, but you can't treat people that way, especially when it seems to focus mostly on women. That's not cool.
Yeah.
And that's very, very, and it's shown. How much have you seen Joss Whedon lately?
Right.
He's not been doing much lately.
and it's such a shame, too, because I think a lot of us thought of him as a guy that is creatively in our wheelhouse.
Yes.
Like a guy, he's doing stuff I like and
exactly.
everything. This is going to be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
No, man. It's a real shame the way that he has... The way he treats people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Hopefully, now we do know one thing. If there's two things we love here in this country, it's a comeback story and it's people with talent.
Yeah.
and the people that get that comeback story are usually people with talent. So.
If at this point, people like that, I mean, certain people are beyond the pale. We know that they're never coming back. But some people who could come back, show some contrition, show some that growth. That they have learned something and don't keep fighting, I never did, blah, 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 blah. No, that's not going to help you. That's now, not going to help you.
What we are saying there about Josh Whedon, you're not going to see him anytime soon. You will see Russell Crowe.
You will.
And here's an example of somebody who treated people poorly, learned from it, and has kind of gotten a second chance.
That's right.
A chance to to kind of come back on that, which is pretty cool to see. Because I'm not against people. I think there's a line.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's asking Harvey Weinstein to get a second chance. But I think certain people have earned it, kind of deserve, if you will, a second chance. I don't know. I feel a little hesitant to say deserve.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't think it's such a bad thing that they get that second chance. We'll see.
Well, we'll just put it there for now. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to do it. And then there is when Carrie Russell cut her hair during Felicity. Ratings started to decline before Carrie cut her hair. I don't think that gets lost in the shuffle. But the media ran with the idea that her new hairstyle had doomed the show.
Seriously?
So much so that it hurt her career. I remember I'm watching, because I'm a sucker for the Mission Impossible movies and everything. And I'm
are they up to, 32 now?
Yeah, something like that. 33.
Okay.
She's in one of the, and I'm like, oh my God, there's Carrie Russell.
Right.
Like, what happened to her? Like, it's so weird. A haircut ruined her career. Now, this isn't part of the article, but another one, of course, is the famous one of the young lady from Dirty Dancing.
Jennifer Grey.
Her agent tells her, hey, you're going to get more work if you get a nose job. She gets the nose job. Nobody can recognize her, which is one of the worst things to happen to an actor is nobody recognizing you, especially if you just got done with one of the bigger hits in the, of all time.
Exactly. She was on the rise. She'd been in a couple of really big movies. And then she does that. And as a person, now, maybe this is TMI, as a person who actually likes women with, they have a little bump on their nose.
Yeah.
I actually find it attractive.
Yeah.
I thought it was a terrible. I thought she looked great. And you're right. She looked very distinctive. Everyone knew who she was. Everyone knew what she looked like. And that had nothing to do with how good of an actor she was. She was a good actor. You know, she could dance. She could do all these kinds of things. But then that happens. And and then it dries up. And that's sad. That's so sad.
And unfair.
You know, Very unfair.
I understand life isn't fair and all that. I'm not trying to sound like a child. But it is. I mean, how hard you have to work to get to this point in your career. And you get a haircut and it's done.
And I'm sensing a pattern here. These are both women.
Yep.
And you talked about it a little bit on the morning show on Friday about, you know, how much harder it is for women. They get older. They don't have those sparkling young looks or whatever they do. I don't know. But it detracts from it. Has nothing to do with their acting ability. It has all to do with what they look like.
The standard isn't the same, and it should be.
Yeah, you're right.
For both sexes.
Yep.
There's no reason it shouldn't be.
Yeah, right.
I got two more.
All right.
And this one's interesting, and it all has to do with NYPD Blue, the FCC, and booty.
I remember this one because I never watched the show, but this was, you're right, this was big news. Oh, no.
I probably saw the first season, a couple episodes because of some of the actors that were in it at the time. But yeah, I didn't really see much of this. But earlier, other times in life, we've had issues with body parts on screen, whether it is cable, basic cable, regular cable, any of the above. This has always been an issue.
Yeah.
And certainly violence was more of the issue with NYPD Blue for the FCC, as far as the FCC was concerned.
Yeah.
But then Dennis Franz had to show his butt. In the pilot episode, this happens. And ABC argued that the buttocks are not a sexual organ due to common sense. Their literal response to the FCC.
Serious?
Way to go, ABC. That's a great response, I think. The FCC had a problem with this and kept on pushing back and all that. And eventually it just became a big controversy. And the FCC got the exact thing they didn't want to happen. Everybody talking about this.
Exactly.
And ABC had a hit.
And they could have just let it fly. It's who, you know,
goes under the radar.
Yeah.
Maybe even they fine them under the, you know, maybe a little bit behind the scenes.
If they think they've crossed the line.
Fine them a little bit, but that's it. And nobody even talks about it.
Yeah. And then we're not, you know, a decade of Dennis Franz butt jokes.
Yes.
Which was ever, it wouldn't die. It would not die. That's all we got. The poor guy. I feel bad for Dennis Franz.
Yeah.
Good actor. And yes. all we talk about is that stupid scene.
It's what he's kind of known for now, and that is a shame, because you're right. He is a great actor.
He had to act with David Caruso. Come on, man.
No, he should get credit for that. Yeah, extra bonus points to Dennis Franz. Yes, yes. Where's he at now?
Yeah.
I hope Dennis Franz got a better career than David Caruso.
Uh-huh.
Better actor.
Yeah, better actor too, yes.
And finally, and we've got more of these. Maybe we'll get to in another show.
Some other
but,
time.
But one of the bigger ones and one of the more memorable ones, an entire season of Dallas was written off as a dream. When Patrick Duffy decided to leave the show, his character, Bobby Ewing, was killed off at the end of the 8th season. When he decided to return a year later, they ended season 9 by revealing that he was still alive, and the entire season was just his wife's dream. One of the lamest writing techniques in history is the dream thing. And I don't know, I want to say that this was one of the earlier times of doing this, and the one of the last.
Yeah,
really. Now, when it's done, now it's done in joking, like not.
It's a punchline.
Yeah,
it's very much a punchline, because you can only do it sincere once.
Yes,
you cannot do it again. Otherwise, it's like, oh, really? They're doing this again now. This just came to me, and I realized something that the original 1956 version of the Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Now, that one had a at the end, it showed it was the dream of the main character.
Oh, that's right.
But that was studio imposed.
Yeah.
I think it was Don Siegel. I can't remember who directed it. He wanted it to end at that very famous part where Kevin McCarthy, not the representative, the actor, points directly at the camera and said, "You're next. You know, ooh, it's coming for you."
Yeah,
that's where he wanted to end it. It was a very ambiguous ending because he's literally running away from the aliens. I know. And he like is saying it right to the audience. Huh. "You're next," kind of thing. And then they tacked on this. Oh, it was all a dream.
Oh.
Because they had a problem with the not only ambiguity, because it looked like maybe, oh, no, the aliens won kind of thing. But so that was getting, it was like, oh, it was all a dream.
Man, is that cool.
But they're
not cool, but it's cool to hear. I didn't know that.
That was done that way because of that. Now, I don't remember it ever happening again in any medium about, you know, oh, it was all a dream kind of thing. So
there's a sneaky good movie. Well, it was, I thought, Jude Law, Repo Man. I think Forrest Whitaker's in it too.
Oh gosh. Yes. The early 90s, I think. Yeah.
It was a great movie, a different Repo Man.
Oh, a different one. Okay.
But that was a good one too. The Emilio Estevez one.
Oh, that's
the
other one I'm thinking of. Yeah.
But it's an action movie and it's pretty good. And then, and I don't want to ruin this for anybody, so don't stop listening if you don't want to, if you're going to watch Repo Man that came out 10, 15 years ago.
20.
But at one point, it's really cool and all this, and he's fighting through all this stuff, and then you find out at the end, oh, he actually died here, at like halfway through the movie or whatever, and it turns out all this was just in his brain as he's sitting there brain dead. Like, what the what, man? Like, that's a lame... the idea of needing a twist just for twist's sake. M. Night Shyamalan got in trouble with this, too. Like, he's gotten much better now with it. He's kind of, like, grown from his...
I would hope so.
But
I hated
just
Signs.
To all young writers,
I hated
out
Signs.
There.
I still hate that movie so
much. I'm with you.
Sorry,
no argument here. It's not a twist if you're just having a twist for twist's sake.
Exactly.
If it organically happens in the story, that's one thing.
Exactly.
But for audiences, see right through that, man.
It's the trees.
Wait, you mean right? Yes, exactly. Oh, wait. You mean she left all these glasses of water around, and oh, it just works out.
Oh God. God, I hated that movie.
It's so sad.
I hated that movie. And on that happy note, we're going to end Director's Cut for today. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Thanks for all the great feedback we've gotten. Keep listening on civicmedia.us. Go to our shows. You can check the podcast there. Go check out the one we did last week, Ben Shittick. Yeah, it was an amazing show. Go listen to his wonderful music.
Yes.
Check that one out as well. Check it all out there, all of our shows. And keep on listening to WFHR. We will see you next week. Bye.